I wonder if you have ever been to a hotel or restaurant where you've had a buffet laid out before you. In August 2010, Nikki and I had a wonderful fortnight in a resort in Langkawi in Malaysia. And the food was so great. It was a beautiful place, but the food was amazing. And one evening we had a buffet laid out for us under the stars. It was a nice dry evening. And there were vegetables of every different color. There were chicken dishes, there were beef dishes, three or four different kinds of fish meals. There was rice, there were noodles. And it looked amazing. And the smells were great. And it tasted even better. The food was immense. It was great. Over the last few weeks, we've taken a few phrases that often appear in postcards to help us unpack Paul's second letter to Timothy, his spiritual son and friend and disciple. And that phrase, the food is great, is the one that I want us to use today to help us unpack chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Right at the end of today's passage, Paul describes the food that should be every Christian's staple diet. The thing that all followers of Jesus feast upon. He's talking about the Bible. When we eat physical foods, we do so for our continued sustenance, to keep our energy levels up and to help us to grow or to move, to be repaired and restored. And it's similar when we think of spiritual food. We need to eat. We need to take in scripture as food to sustain us, to energize us, to help us to grow in faith, to help us move in step with God's purposes and to be repaired and restored by him. When Paul wrote this section to section of the letter to Timothy, he was encouraging him to continue in reading scripture, in engaging with scripture, continue in what he had learnt and become convinced of in verse 14, and to continue in knowing and living out the Holy Scriptures, verse 15. But before Paul gets to those encouragements to continue, Paul makes it really clear why this food, the spiritual food, that is scripture, why scripture is absolutely crucial for him to take on board, to feast on. Paul explains the context in which Timothy is living in, and as he does so, he explains the absolute necessity of being filled with God's word. The chapter starts with these words: "Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." People who oppose the truth, that's in verse 8. Put simply, Timothy was going to live in a time, or was living in a time, where people were choosing to feast on food and ideas and desires that are not from God. This was the context that Timothy was in. And to be honest, it's similar to the context it's so similar to the context we find ourselves in now. Not just at a kind of societal level, but even down to a personal level. In this last year, I and our family have come across and experienced some of these things, and maybe you have as well. Maybe you still carry the wounds or the bruises from living in this time, in these terrible times, verse 1, with behavior and heart attitudes like this around us. Maybe also you have experienced persecution for being a follower of Jesus in recent times. That's going to happen more and more as we seek to be faithful followers of Jesus, fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Paul tells Timothy that. And I think it's helpful for us to wake up to it as well. In verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, it's going to be the case that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will also be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're living in terrible times. But maybe it's not just we're living in terrible times and we're surrounded by people who are doing terrible things. Maybe when we go through this list, we also realize in our darker moments, or maybe in the season that we're in, maybe we're guilty of some of those things. We've acted unlovingly, or held back forgiveness, or we've acted out of our pride, or lived without self-control. It's terrible times. And as Paul describes, we need the solution to this and the antidote to it. And the way that a faithful follower of Jesus can live in these times is to ensure that we're feeding ourselves on the right things. In week one, in this Postcards from Paul series, we were encouraged to be reliant on the Holy Spirit, to be open and honest, honestly leaning on His guidance, the Holy Spirit's guidance, His power, His cleansing, His leading. Last week, in week two, we were encouraged to be strong in the grace of Jesus, not to just be human doings, doing a long to-do list, but to be human beings, being filled and being reliant on the gift of God's grace, not to just grace, not to just save us, but to also sustain us. And now in chapter three, we need to recognize, or Paul's encouraging Timothy and encouraging us to recognize that the food that God has provided for us is good, is flavorsome, and will enable us to live as fully devoted disciples of Jesus. Scripture isn't just the baby milk that will tell us the gospel, the good news, the basic message of salvation that we understand. That we come to understand when we first turn and believe in Jesus, the truth that Jesus died for us and He saved us from our sin and He saved us to life in all its fullness with Him. Verse 15 describes something of that. Paul is saying that Scripture is to be our food ongoingly. God has laid out a feast before us, but unlike that buffet meal that I described at the beginning in Langkawi, God's word is not a buffet where we can pick and choose different things that we like the look of or like the flavor of. Now, Paul is encouraging us to engage with the whole of Scripture and to feast on the whole of God's words. He says in verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're to be filled with and fueled by God's words, that He has breathed out into by His Holy Spirit, breathed out into people to write it down so that we can engage with it and feast on it. We're to be filled by it and fueled by it, saturated in Scripture, so that we're able to live the God life, the life that God has called us to, the empowered life, the God-filled life, the free life, the bold life, the Jesus life. And we're to, by feasting on Scripture, we'll be able to do that in whatever context God puts us in. As we begin to end this message, this postcard from Paul, and enter into a time of personal reflection or discussion within little groups that we're with, either in the hub or in life groups and things, I want to encourage you to think about how you could feast on God's words, not just today or tomorrow, but moving forwards. How can you feast on all of Scripture? Maybe you have been snacking on it, and snacking is not sustaining. It'll give you a nice pick up, but it will not sustain you in these terrible times. It will not help you to continue ongoingly. Verse 14, Paul is saying, go back and feast on God's word. Continue to feed on Scripture. So what will that look like for you? And how can the people around you, if you're discussing this, how can the people around you encourage you in that? Not to say, have you read your Scripture today? in a kind of checking up on you in a negative way. But have you feasted with God today? Have you feasted on his words? And if in your discussions, if it's helpful, you could say to people, I only read the bits of scripture that I like. And I've been challenged by God through his word this morning or this afternoon, this evening, to engage with the whole of scripture. So could you help me with that? Could you explain the bits I don't understand or I don't like? God's placed us within community, within a church family, to encourage one another in his words. So as we seek to be Bible-saturated believers, to be people who feast on the whole of scripture, God's given us a gift, not just of his word, but of his people. So around you, ask people to help you engage with scripture. Let's pray together before we reflect and discuss. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true. And in these terrible times, help us to feast on it, not to just snack on it, not to just have a Sunday roast meal once a week, but to have daily feeding, being filled and fueled by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.